I have enjoyed what has gone forward so far today, this morning, as well as this afternoon. And I certainly appreciate the singing that we've had. There's no instrument that anyone can sing, can play, that is prettier than the sound of the human voice singing and lifting up our voices and giving praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brother Don mentioned about 12 o'clock, the skies got dark. And they did get dark. They got dark for about 3 hours. And then the darkness went away. And for all practical purposes, when they took the body of Christ down off the cross, there was probably discouraged people thinking, this is it. We followed Jesus all this time. All the apostles. You know, there wasn't but one apostle there at the cross, John. And they were probably thinking, well, this is it. No more. We've wasted our time. But all of a sudden, after 3 days, he come out of that grave, didn't he? And there was a spark. There was something that took place in those apostles and those disciples and those people around. There was something that lifted them up, and it was the power of his resurrection. When he rose out of that grave, that gave them hope. They saw him. He didn't just show himself to one or two people. At one time, he showed himself to over 500 people. And there was a passion that these people had to follow Christ. And the passion was not only to follow Christ, but their passion was to be different than the world around them as well. And we can draw from their passion. Any way you say it, Christianity is a counterculture. And it's supposed to be a counterculture. Christianity is not supposed to blend in and be with the world. It's supposed to be separate. Are we not special people? We are. Are we not a peculiar people? Yeah. We are supposed to be peculiar people. Yeah. So the people back in those days with the apostolic church, the early church members, they were no different than us. They lived in the world, but they were not supposed to be of the world. They lived, they had children. From the outside, from the external part, they looked like everybody else. But there was something different about them. And it's different about us today. They lived by faith. And they saw the world in a different light. Yes. We should not see the world as the world works. We are called out to be different. And the early saints changed society dramatically. Amen. And the early saints, the early church, had an influence on society. And what I'm afraid to say is we're losing it.
Amen.
We are losing that. And that is the great catastrophe that has happened from that time until this time. We have lost the passion that the early saints had. And you can see it. And what is so bad is in today's time, there is in a lot of churches And I'm not talking about primitive Baptist churches. I'm talking about churches as a whole in America. One of the problems is, in many cases, there's no visual distinction between the church and the world. Brother Vince, me and my son and another man that I work with went to Alaska back in 2001. And we rode motorcycles through Alaska. And it followed through a Sunday. And I wanted to go to church on Sunday because I was in to me it was a foreign country. But I wanted to hear some good preaching. So we went to a community church in Anchorage, and for 20 minutes, all I heard was astronomy, the sun and the moon. And when church was over, not one person spoke to us.
Wow.
Not one person spoke to us. The churches of today, some of them, they have blended in with the world so well. There's no difference. Amen. There is no difference in going to church than it is to going down to a shopping center or going out here or going out there. That church that we did, I got a headache. The guitar player was so loud he busted my head. I had the awfulest headache. Person told me one time, Brother Stan, you know how to grow your church? Get a band, put them back there, let them play. They'll bring in the young people. If you've seen some of these churches, that you'll know that a lot of people go to churches just for entertainment. They go to sit back and listen to the music. Dress has been relaxed.
Amen.
I know some people who go in golfing shirts and shorts.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there ain't nothing common about God's church.
Amen.
There's nothing common about it. I don't care what you have. You ought to bring the best you have.
Amen.
But by nature, unfortunately, by nature, we want to be friends with the world.
Yeah.
That's in us. That's our sinful nature.
Yeah.
We want to be friends with the world. And I know you have people that try to bully you. They say that they're open-minded. And they criticize you because you don't think like they do. And they criticize you and stay on you. Because you're not open-minded and you don't see the world like they see the world. But I tell you what, you know what that open-mindedness leads to? Tolerance. And tolerance leads to compromise. And compromise leads to a lack of commitment. That's what it leads to. And the church, unfortunately, has lost its peculiarity. And it is different. God's church is different. God's church was set up to be different. God's church was set up to be apart, to be separated from the world. And the problem is, the world is not challenged by the church anymore. There was a time that it was, but it's not challenged by the church anymore. But I'll tell you what. When God's glory is trampled on, when God's glory is thrown around in such a negative way, God's people can't afford to be neutral. God's people can't afford to just let that go. If you watch any TV at all, do you know how TV makes our Lord and Savior's name so common? You can't even watch TV anymore for all the ugly language that goes on. And how they just throw this out and throw this out. Are we a passive people? Were the apostolic church members passive? No, they were active. This was something that was a radical move back in those days. It was something that was different. We are asked to be different. We are asked to take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ and be different. And not just follow anything that goes. Somebody asked me, in lieu of all the stuff that's going on with the Supreme Court and all that, and they said, well, Brother Stan, what do you think about that? Well, it's pretty plain in Romans chapter 12, and that's our text this afternoon. Romans chapter 12. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. We are not to be conformed to this world. We are not to let this world conform us. We are not supposed to have the mindset that this world does. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must recapture that passion that the apostolic church members had. Jesus taught many, many things. But in Jesus' preaching, there was no gray areas, was it? It was either this or it was either this. There was no in between. There was nothing in his gospel that one could say, well, you know, that's kind of like a gray area. We don't know what he meant by that. It could go this way or it could go this way. Not so with Jesus' gospel. He preached that one can go the broad way, which leads to destruction, or one can go the narrow path, which leads unto life. It's either this or it's either this. He talked about true riches, and he talked about the earth's treasures. Now, there's a difference in what the true treasures are. He taught us God's wisdom, and he taught us man's wisdom. Now, that's a big difference right there. And he taught us God's peace and man's peace. And let me tell you, in this day and time, in this world, if you get peace, it's God's peace. Because you won't get peace. There is nothing that you can buy in this world to gain peace from this world. There is absolutely nothing. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But be not conformed to this world. Now, here is our great challenge. We have to dare to be different. And it is a dare. We have to dare to be different. Because the easiest thing we can do is just blend in with the world and go along. One of the hardest things, and I feel for young people. Amen. I really feel for young people because there's a such thing called peer pressure. Amen. That is more powerful than you can imagine. And they deal with it on a daily basis. Because some studies have shown that some people go along with the crowd knowing it's wrong. They will do that versus being criticized or persecuted by their friends. We have to pray for them. It is a ongoing problem. It seems like we've lost a generation of children. I don't have the answer. We can just pray that people will repent and come back. You know, For instance, here's one item of peer pressure. A young person goes to Primitive Baptist Church, and their friends don't. And they tell their friends, the friends tell them, do you go to that church where there's no music? Yeah. Do you go to that church where they wash feet? Yeah. Do you go to that church where they preach for an hour? Yeah. Well, I just can't believe that you do that. And then they're criticized and criticized and criticized. But instead of that, that person needs to dare to be different, and he needs to shout from the rafters, yes, we go to a church that washes feet. We go to a church where we sing from the heart, and we go to a church where all the brethren love each other and they speak to each other and we have the best time, and most of the time we go out to the dining hall and eat and we converse and we come back in and we preach some more. We need to shout that out because we need to be that different. We need to be that peculiar. See, God don't change. If this is the way that if the Lord set his church up this way, why does man think that man should change it? See, one of the problems that has changed from the apostolic times is it went through the ages, and it seemed like that man wanted a pope, and then it went through some more changes, and then it seemed like that man needed to help God save people. And then you get in this, well, you need to come and you need to get saved and all this. Let me tell you what. This is God's world. This is God's church. He don't need our help in saving anybody. He don't need our help in saving one person, because I believe, as you believe, that God is all powerful and he's got the ability to save his people. And he don't need our help. Okay, so what do we do about this problem? One of the things we can do is in our behavior, we can behave different than the world behaves. In our speech, in our talk, in our attitude. You know, if you remember, when Peter denied the Lord, the first person asked him, aren't you with him? No, not me. Second person asked him, aren't you with me? Them? No, I don't know what you're talking about. The third one asked him, no, I'm not with him. And then, what was the determining factor in getting those people to believe Peter? He started cussing. Amen. He started saying all the bad words, and he started cussing, and he was carrying on. That's some of the things we need to be different.
Amen. Amen.
Our language needs to be different.
Yes.
Our thoughts needs to be different. Amen. Our speech needs to be different. We need to be different in how we live. We need to rise above the world. The bottom line is we should not be conformed to the world. We should not let the world pull us down and live on its level. We have been asked to not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed. Another thing that we can change is in our goals of life. You know, you ask any young person, what's your goal in life? What are the majority of the young people going to say? There you go. Wealth, Riches, prestige, fame, name, famous. I want to do this. I want to do that. What's your sole purpose on being on the face of this earth, being God's people? The glory of God. We are to glorify God. We need to change our attitude. Set our goals aside. You know, there was a time where my big thing was making 30 at 30. That's, of course, that was a long time ago when $30,000 meant something. My goal in life was to make $30,000 a year at age 30. Oh, how I've changed. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's being the best Christian. It's being the best disciple of Jesus Christ that you can be. That's where it's at.
That's right, man.
When you can lay your head on the on your pillow at night, knowing that you've done the very best to honor and glorify your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to change our goals. We need to shift our goals. Instead of the earth's treasures, we need to have our goals towards the true riches of God, and that is serving Him in the best way that we know how. Another thing is to change our lifestyle.
Amen.
We have to change our lifestyle. Too many times we leave church and we get in that world, don't we? And before you know it, it's all over us. And before you know it, there's no difference. There's no difference. We speak the same with some of the ungodly. We have been called out to be separate. We have been called out to glorify God. We have a greater mission in life. We are to do these things. Our lifestyle needs to be changed. We need, instead of living by man's rules, we need to live a life truly by faith. And we need to give it all up. We need to give God the honor and glory that He deserves. Now, there is one example of what we've been trying to tell you. And if you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll see an example of one that traded it all off, traded the world's treasures for the true riches of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, when it says when he was come to years, that tells me that there was a time that he didn't know. There was a time that he began to understand, and he began to know that the way where he was wasn't where he should be, where he was wasn't where he wanted to be, and he finally took a stand. He finally took a stand. When he was born, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, you have to understand about Moses. He was in high. He had a high command. He was prestigious. He had a name. He was respected. He had wealth. He had everything that he wanted. And from a natural standpoint, you have to ask yourself, why would he trade that to be with those Jewish people over there? Those slaves, why would he do that? Well, we all know what that reason was, so we don't even need to go over that. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Moses, bless his heart, He took it upon himself because he thought, well, okay, I'm going to take care of this situation. And he killed a man, didn't he? He killed a man. He took it upon himself to do this. So what happened to Moses? Wasn't he thrown out? And he wandered in the desert for how many years? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going from the highest penthouse to you know where? Just picture that in your mind. Having everything that he ever wanted, servants, anything he wanted he had. Now he's out in the desert. He's by himself, fending for himself. And for 40 years, you know how discouraged he got? Would you get discouraged? We would get discouraged after 2 or 3 weeks, wouldn't we? We would say, well, I'm done. God's, because of what I did, God's not going to use me anymore. He's not going to use me. This is my life. This is the way it's just going to be. But you ask, why did he do it? Why did he leave the position he was in to be different? He dared to be different. He chose to go against the grain. He chose to go counter. He chose, this is something that, and I'll tell you, the Bible has all the answers to any question.
Amen.
It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That's why he did it. Amen. He picked up his stuff and he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures. He knew that there was greater treasures following Jesus than it would be all the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. But now does the story end there? Moses took a stand, did he not?
Yes, he did.
He took a stand, and from the natural eye, it looks like he chose the wrong way. He should have stayed where he was. He had it made. He had it easy. He didn't have any confrontations. He didn't have any, well, yeah, it half-brother, but anyway. He had he had everything taken care of. And now look, you think maybe he was on the backside of the desert and he was beginning to think, you know, I messed up. I really messed up. Sometimes we take a stand and we think we mess up.
Yeah.
We really think we've erred. We've really messed up. But you know what? I believe that God rewards people who take a stand and take up his cause.
Yes.
40 years? That seems like a lifetime to us, don't it? But in his life, it didn't seem like that was that much. 40 years. But look at what he was rewarded with. Who did God pick to lead his people out of bondage? Moses. And it's the same with Peter. Look at old proud Peter. Look at how Peter fell. And look at how Peter thought, it's probably over. What'd he say, I go fishing?
Yeah.
He probably thought, this is over. This is it. There's no more for me. And old Peter, who had denied Christ 3 times and had probably thought, he's never going to use me again. And Jesus gave him the opportunity 3 times to profess his love for him. Mm-hmm. Right. Then what happened? Who was given? And as far as preachers go, you can probably understand what I'm about to say. Who was given the plum preaching job on the day of Pentecost to get up and speak? It was Peter. And that eloquent message that he gave. Churches of today don't want to call you a sinner. They want to make you feel good. They want to lift you up. Bless his heart, I like Joel Osteen. I like him. But he's never preached a sermon in his life. It's all motivational speaking. And he lifts you up, and he gives you the appearance that if you just follow these rules and follow these guidelines, that you will have wealth, you'll have happiness for your whole life. Well, let me tell you, this book tells me that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that Jesus Christ put himself on the cross to pay for our sins. And our sins, not only are our sins removed from the sight of God, they are not in his remembrance, and they are not even recorded anymore. How fun would it be to go to heaven and be up in heaven for, say, 2 weeks, and somebody comes and tells you, you got to go to the throne because God wants to talk to you about something you did down there. What life would that be? If you're in heaven and kick back and enjoying things, and all of a sudden there's a record of your sins that come forth, and you have to be accountable to your sins. Oh, no. Oh, no. Jesus did the job. Jesus finished the job. When he was on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," yes, his pain and suffering was finished, but what he came to do was finished. And there was nothing else that needed to be done. He paid for our sins, and he's not still trying. He got the job done. Man thinks that the preacher has to save somebody. Man thinks that you'd have to come up front to the altar and all these different rules and regulations that you have to do. And let me tell you, when Jesus uttered those words on the last 3 hours of the cross, when he said, "It is finished," it truly was finished, and there's nothing else that has to be done to secure your salvation. We can thank God for such a system, because it is God's world. This is God's way of salvation. And we need to be different. Well, I dare you to be different. I dare you to come out of this world and be separate. You know, we have the greatest gospel. We have the greatest doctrine. And we need to be proud of our heritage. Because we can trace our roots all the way back to the apostolic church. Now, there's not a lot of churches out here that can do this. We should be proud. We should be proud that we are peculiar. Some people say, "Oh, well, Brother Stan, you're just old-fashioned, and y'all are just old-fashioned people." Thank you. Thank you. That is a compliment to me, and I love it. You can call us hard shells. You can call us anything you want to. But the one thing that we need to be aware of is we need to be separate from the world. We need to be different, like the old apostolic church that was set up. May Lord pardon any error.